Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy three-day weekend here on the Labor Day. It is Monday, September 2nd, and thank you for tuning in. I hope you guys have had an amazing three-day weekend. I don't know what you're doing. I've just been out there working, doing comedy, and trying to get funny, as I say every week. Had some good shows at the Comedy Store all weekend. Hung out with some great friends. Incredible guest today. Speaking of great friends, I always think how lucky I am that I started comedy, because I got to meet people that I didn't know before I did comedy. People like Mark Maron, Bill Burr, Ian Edwards, D'Elia, all these guys that became great friends of mine. And especially this man right here, my guest today, Mr. Joey Diaz. Unbelievable what a great man and a great friend this guy has been to me. And I'll never be able to repay him, but I love him, and I love sitting down and just talking life and music with him and enjoying a couple of guys in our 50s just enjoying life. It was great to have him on. He's super busy, so to get him on the podcast is an honor. And especially today, because we finally sat down and talked about the Grateful Dead, what they meant to us, how we found the Grateful Dead. It's a great episode, because both of us didn't like the Grateful Dead growing up. So to hear this, it's a lesson in you never know. As I get older, man, it's funny how I've just opened up. I hated all kinds of different food, different music. It's weird to hold on to that shit for so long. And I wish I was different growing up, of just being more open. I feel like I was pretty much open, but I wish I was even more open, like just everything. But that's life. And it's been, actually, I'm kind of glad I wasn't like that, because now in my 50s, I have stuff that I'm discovering. I'm not like, well, I did it all. Now what? which is great, actually. So I take that back. I'm glad I was closed off growing up. Anyway, this is episode number 492. And we are just cranking through this. I want to give one little note here. I had a thing happen over the weekend. Somebody was a Patreon subscriber on my Patreon page, patreon.com/DeanDelRay. That's where you can find all the bonus episodes. And I've been enjoying doing that, and I'm glad that you guys dig it. And I do get people that subscribe for a while and drop off, and I get new subscribers. I'm just trying to build this thing into a machine of something that I hope that all of you dig. But over the weekend, I had a guy unsubscribe. No biggie. But I just shouted at him and said, hey, thank you for your support. And then he told me that he unsubscribed because I didn't answer one of his posts on the Patreon page. And it kind of bummed me out, because I got to tell you, it's not a big deal. Like, oh, wow, he unsubscribed. It's more like, hey, you know, I try to be great to all the fans and friends out there. I try to answer every email, every post I can. But I don't think if people really understand that this is a one-man machine over here. And 7 days a week, I'm podcasting, I'm writing comedy, I'm traveling, I'm performing, I'm trying to sleep, I'm rehabbing this fucked up herniated disc. And, you know, shit, man. I can't answer every question or DM or Instagram message or Patreon or Twitter or email. It's a lot. And I try to do it all. And so I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. If I don't answer you back, I might have missed it, which is totally true. Or I just forgot, or I'm just burnt. But anyway, I hope that I hope that clears it up a little bit. It's just for anybody if I don't get to you. You know, I can only answer so many questions in a day. Today is the 4-year anniversary of my motorcycle crash when I was run over, hit and run by a meth head in a Cadillac Escalade. It was on this day 4 years ago. And the reason I do bring it up is I still do have some issues with it. That's where the herniated disc is from. And so, yeah, I'm getting through it. And thank God I'm using some CBD lotions. It's getting me through. CBD Lion. I got to give them a full-blown shout-out. CBDLion.com. Some of the greatest CBD products out there. Gluten-free, vegan, organic, third-party lab-tested, non-GMO, zero THC. This shit is helping my neck. I'm rubbing the topical creams on my neck, and it's unbelievable. I've been going at it here. I'm rehabbing this neck. I'm going to beat this shit, and the CBD has been helping me with not just the herniated disc, but the stress and anxiety that's been coming with it. I've been doing the tinctures. I do the drops under the tongue. I do the oral. They got the gummies. They also have vape pens. Any way you want to do it, CBD Lion, the best CBD products out there. And you want to get 20% off forever, not just one time, over and over and over. Use the code DEAN, D-E-A-N. CBDLion.com, use the code DEAN and get yourself going on this. Like I said, vegan, non-GMO, organic, gluten-free, primo clean CBD stuff. Don't get that shit at the gas station. You don't know who's making that stuff. You know, just some garage chemist. CBDLion.com, use the code DEAN, D-E-A-N. And yeah, man, it's working. I do want to give a shout out to the Mother Hips, one of my favorite bands of all time, because the Mother Hips are really how I found the Grateful Dead. I found the Grateful Dead backwards from the Mother Hips, then the Black Crows, then the Allman Brothers, the band, and then boom, there it is, the Grateful Dead. And I'm grateful that the Mother Hips are still a band, still out there touring, putting out new music nonstop. And I just wanted to give them a big shout out. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. And I do want to say a lot of people have been tweeting about the podcast lately, and I can't thank you enough. The more chatter on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the more spreading of the word, the bigger the show can get and the better the guests we can get. We can get bigger and bigger guests if people see it constantly out there in the Twitter and Instagram world. And I'm starting to see that, which is pretty damn cool. So keep spreading the word, everybody, and have a great, great week. I love all you guys. Don't forget to catch me at Hilarities in Cleveland headlining September 20 and 21, get your tickets ASAP, and then catch Joey and I. This is going to be great. Joey and I are going to be in Chicago, we're going to be in San Francisco, we're going to be in Sacramento, we're going to be in Omaha. All the dates are on DeanDelRay.com. I love you guys. Thank you, Joey, for doing the show. Keep the candles lit. Here he is, Joey Diaz. All right, here we are. This is a fantastic day because it's the return of one of my favorite humans on Earth, Mr. Joey Diaz. How are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. Great. You know, it's great to be here, but it's also great to come to your home. You've been moving around like a fucking scavenger the last 8 years chasing your dream. And I come to your home, and it's so weird because your home, when you go to somebody's house, it either confirms that you like them or you don't. Like when I was 15, if I went to your house and you didn't have Fragile, yeah, Led Zeppelin 2, certain albums, I couldn't hang out with you.
No. Yeah.
Like if you had a Tom Jones in there, like we stopped being friends that day.
Yeah.
But your success, I look at your home and I see why you're successful. Like everything's in order in your bathroom. You're very, you know, and that, you know, your kitchen is immaculate.
Yeah.
I didn't come here and got attacked by a fucking fruit fly.
Yeah.
You know, fucking 18 fruit fly. You even go to somebody's kitchen, I got 18 fruit flies.
Oh, man.
Like the maid hasn't been here all week. What, you can't pick up a dish?
Yeah, maid.
You want flies? I got fucking Godzilla fighting the swamp monster in your kitchen.
Yeah.
And you fucking... So it's an honor to come to your house and confirm that, you know, you're the man.
Oh, man. I'm so glad to hear. I tell people, like, if I see Maron, I know he thinks I'm crazy. Like, oh, he's going to come talk to me about fucking apartments or his health, you know, or somebody, you know. But it is true. Look, I had a great place for 13 years. Then I lost it. And then I was just scrambled. I couldn't figure out what to do because my roots were in that Beechwood Canyon apartment. And when you lose something like that, it's a lot like losing a wife or a friend or whatever. It's the same thing. It's such a big part of you that you're like, wow, some people don't give a fuck where they live. They don't care. They're like, ah, this is great. And I'm like, with me, it really is how you can keep sane in the insanity of doing comedy every night to have a great spot to come home to. And finally found something, which is amazing.
I remember coming home to, like, I still remember coming home to, like, a floor.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In 98 in L.A., I slept in a bedroom that had, I slept on my clothes as a pillow.
Absolutely.
I would get the clean clothes and fold them up nicely, Chinese style.
Yeah.
And put, like, a fucking pillowcase on it, and it's crazy. It really is crazy how the different you have to adapt until you find your home. For me, it was Hollywood for 9 years.
Yeah.
And then I moved to the Valley, and it was two different worlds. It was really quiet. I wouldn't hear fucking techno music no more. No more homeless people naked on the street, you know.
No sirens.
No sirens at all. You adjust, especially in this area. But this, you've hit it out of the park with this spot here.
It's insane.
This is insane. This is one of the best parts of L.A. to live because, you know, you have your Atwaters, you have your Silver Lakes.
Love it.
And some people really like those areas. It serves their needs. The problem with living in Silver Lake is you work in Redondo.
Yeah.
Which is a fucking hour and a half drive every day each way. That's the problem with all those things, that you really want to live in Silver Lake and Atwater Village, but your job is always an hour away in L.A.
Yeah.
With you, your job now is 15 minutes away.
It's great.
You're 15 minutes. And you were even closer when you lived close to the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
But that was the apartment where the people had parties every day.
Oh, they were Airbnb next door.
That's what it was.
It was fucking full on, like, six people next door all night, you know, because we had a great building right there in West Hollywood. So all the tourists wanted to stay there. It had a pool, just raging. And oh, my God. And, you know, I don't have a lot of money. So when you move, it's like $5,000, a truck, first and last, getting shit hooked up, your utilities. And so I'm in there for 3 weeks and I go, oh, I know I got to fucking move. And so there's money down the drain. You're battling the lease and it's a nightmare. But I just keep pushing forward. And I do believe that if you keep going and just stay positive, good shit happens.
Always does.
Yeah, it always does.
You work for the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. Oh, work for the Grateful Dead, man. It's funny because I've been dying to sit down and talk the dead with you because I don't know about you, because you spent a lot of time in Boulder and Colorado, and I spent a lot of time in San Francisco. So growing up, I absolutely hated the dead because it was all over the place. And that was just like, you know, Trustafarians and hippies and fuck all these people. I'm into Metallica and all that. Metallica was my San Francisco band and that other shit was whatever. And somewhere along the line, man, around, you know, I don't know. I always liked Working Man's Dead, but somewhere around 15 years ago, the dead hit me and it's been in my blood ever since.
The Dead with me started with a band called the New Riders of Purple Sage.
Oh, yeah.
And it had to be the early 70s. And right about the time Saturday Night Live started, I was raised with a girl that was a backup singer, a whore. She was just a fucking freaky chick. And I guess she sucked good dick and she rolled good joints.
Yeah.
I still remember. Her name was Nancy. Beautiful Puerto Rican chick. She was a background singer. You know, I knew her and her brothers all her life. I never heard her sing a note.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there she is on Saturday Night Live.
Whoa.
With the new Riders of Purple Sage. So she told me, you know, she used to always leave. She was away. If I was 12 or 10, she was already 22 or something. Just beautiful. Her name was Nancy Cedeno or something like that. And she said we were a spinoff of the Dead, something like that. And that's the first time I really, Grateful Dead, okay, no big deal. And then I think they opened up the Meadowlands. When the Meadowlands first opened, they were supposed to open up the Meadowlands. And, like, you know, the Meadowlands was a big thing in Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're doing rock music, and I guess one of the Dead guys jumped off a balcony high on acid. And that was it. So that put like a negative, like this was my pre-acid days, so it put a little negativity towards me, towards the Dead and the acid. Like I was like, who are these fucking animals?
Yeah.
And then whenever you see pictures of the Dead, that's what you'd see. Beards and long hair and blah, blah, blah. So when I was raised, they were irrelevant to me. Like I never, nothing. Nobody listened to them. Nobody ever spoke about them. For me, it was the Beatles and Bruce Springsteen. Everywhere you go when as a kid was the Beatles. Then John Lennon got shot, no more Beatles. Then they shoved Bruce Springsteen down my throat. We were just going to parties and take over the fucking record player.
Yeah, the stair.
Wall.
Yeah.
Ted Nugent, Double Live Gonzo.
So oh, yeah.
That was my initial take on the Dead. But now we fast forward to 83 in Snowmass Village. The guys upstairs from Mankato would play the Dead. And every time I go upstairs, I'm not going to lie to you, they would play the live shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, they were really into the live shows. Now, you know, I was a kid. It was 22 of them to an apartment, and I wish I was lying to you. When you walked into this apartment, it was a 3-bedroom apartment. But it was 22 kids from Mankato.
22.
That lived on the floors, everywhere. And all their dream of us for, like, is for comedy was to become professional skiers.
Oh, yeah.
So they would learn in Minnesota and then move to Aspen, Snowmass, get a job. They would either whitewater raft in the summer or they would work on the mountain in the winter and they would ski. That's what they dedicated themselves to. But at night at that house, it was a party. From shooting heroin to doing blow, whatever room you went to, they were doing something else. But throughout the house, this live music would be on. And it always sounded off key to me.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this shit? I'm like, well, it sounds fucking off key to me.
Yeah.
And I kept getting up there, going up there. And finally, one day I had the balls and I said, what the fuck are you fucking people listening to? Every time I come up here, it's like Yoko Ono joined the band. That's what it sounded like. This is what her band would sound like.
Yeah, yeah.
Just off keys and off melodies and shit like that. And they told me it was the Grateful Dead and they broke it down. I'm like, I don't know nothing about that. So that was it. Then 85, I moved to Boulder.
Whoa.
And I started dating a girl. And every day she would play Working Man's Dead.
Oh, man.
And after a couple days, I started humming, you know, the first days are the hardest days, don't you know? Want to come with me? And then after that, it was American Beauty. And then after that, we got into Skull and Bones, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then I think there was an album called Fire on the Mountain.
Oh, that's the song, Fire on the Mountain, okay, yeah.
It's a song.
Oh, yeah. What a song, man. What a song.
And then I really got into Shakedown Street.
Oh, God.
All right, that's the one. So from 85.
Oh, yeah.
To 90, I had, now I was listening to those albums.
Fire on the Mountains on Shakedown Street.
On Shakedown Street. Yeah. And that song really destroys me. I like the harmonies on it. And I had a guy who would just give me cassettes. Because in Boulder, there's two sets of people. There's the deadheads, and one of the people that live on the van. Flower child.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What are they called? Yeah, like hippies, you know, flower child van people.
They have a word, a bus.
Oh, oh.
It's a big bus that comes to Boulder every year.
Yeah, like, oh, like the hog farm people, like Wavy Gravy and shit.
I don't know. And we used to, they would all meet at a coffee shop called Penny Lane in Boulder. It was where I learned to write comedy. And they had a midnight poetry reading. And I was in the halfway house with this guy that was older. But he had a hot younger girlfriend, and she ran the coffee shop. So she would slip me up from time to time during the fucking poetry readings, and I do comedy.
Oh, they'd sick.
Pull me and get off the stage and blah, blah, blah. But.
Comedy, Joey Diaz at the poetry reading. You cocksuckers!
Oh, my God, yeah. He ran, and he fell in a bag of shit. You know, I would just go up there.
But, dude, that's so funny.
It's fucking amazing that I still remember that shit. But what really intrigued me was the following they had. The amount of people that would go to the shows. Like I said, I had this guy that would give me live recordings. And then after I heard, it was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I had Rolling Stones, Some Girls. And they were the biggest fucking thing in my life. I love that album.
Oh, it's the best.
And I went to see the Stones live. And they were pretty fucking good at Veterans. In Philadelphia. When I got the next album I bought was Get Your Ya-Ya's Out.
Oh, the live one.
And I gave it away.
You didn't like it?
No.
The sound?
The sound. I didn't like how he sang. I didn't like the lyrics, how they were arranged. I didn't like the live experience. Wasn't for me, even though I had seen him live. But it's so weird how you learn about music the more you dive into different bands. Sometimes by listening to Soundgarden, you'll understand the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
There's a weird equation to music that something, you know what? Dean Delray and me were buddies since we were six. He was a Beatle guy. I never liked the Beatles. Then one day at 30, I got into the Beatles. People will say that to me constantly.
Oh, of course.
I still remember Maron getting into Sabbath 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And him going, I didn't have a fucking clue, you know?
Yeah, so yeah.
That's what's great about music. You're never too late to catch on. Now let's go back to Zeppelin Live at the Garden. Zeppelin Live at the Garden is a live performance, five live performances taped into one movie.
Song remains the same,
but come on, guy. Listen to that Dazed and Confused.
Oh.
And listen to the real Dazed and Confused. And you're like, what the fuck is this? So I learned about a thing called improvising. And somewhere along the line, I got into jazz in Boulder. You know, some guy I hung out with was into jazz. And he would talk to me about the freedom of jazz. So when you put all these elements together, now when you listen to a Grateful Dead live recording, you got it. I was like, oh, shit. You know, it's like there's parts where Jerry's tripping.
Oh, God, yeah.
A 20 minutes guitar solo or something. And, you know, I still remember, like, Mickey Hart on the drums and shit like that. Like, they had two drummers.
Yep.
Two drummers. And I finally went to see them one year. They played Red Rocks. And a buddy of mine.
Oh, you saw the Dead?
I saw them with Santana.
Whoa, Super Bill.
Like a crazy show. Oh. And somebody called me out on it once. They're like, we did the thing and it wasn't Santana. And something else happened that night. Public Enemy were doing a show in Denver, so I guess they showed up.
Whoa.
I didn't go on stage. I don't remember what the deal was with Red Rocks. I'm going back 90. It's got to be, it had to be anywhere from 85 to 91.
Yeah.
When I went to see them. And once I didn't like the smell at the Dead thing.
Yeah.
I smelled too much patchouli.
Yeah.
I did do acid. I did, trip my balls off. And I really, really did have a good time. It was a great, neat. I went to see, this had to be a while ago because the they weren't enforcing the music thing anymore. Like if you go to the other amphitheater in Denver,
yeah,
you will definitely be out in your car by 9:55.
Oh, the curfew.
Yeah, they have signed the petition that there better not be a sound, not a guitar chord after 10 o'clock. There's another one in Denver, something amphitheater. And Red Rocks at this time still, they still weren't, they were lenient towards the dead. So they went into all those little riffs they do and that it's got that jazzy blues effect.
Oh, yeah.
So when you listen to the dead, it's got so many different elements. That's when you know, like, so that's how I learned about the dead. First time I heard the dead and just heard them, I did not like them. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I jumped out of a window. It took me 6 years to understand the dead. And it's just like comedy, like I tell people. You hear somebody on a podcast, you listen to Dean Delray and you hear some Chinese drummer. All of a sudden you go, let me give this Chinese drummer a try. And you fall in love with the band. And now you buy all their music. And now you follow them on Twitter and you follow them on Facebook. And they're finally coming to your town. And you go down there, you watch them perform. And afterward you shake the drummer's hand. You have completed the circle of entertainment. That is the completion of the circle. And when I went to see the dead, like, I got to be honest with you, I'd really love to see him with homie playing the guitar because he's such a fucking animal that I can't even imagine where he takes these songs to.
John Mayer?
John Maron.
It's unbelievable.
Mark Maron.
It's unbelievable.
But I want to remember that Jerry Garcia thing.
Yeah.
I want to remember what I saw.
Yeah, you saw 90. It. Yeah.
That was something that they were free. And all of them were on something.
Yeah.
You know, all of them were on something, you know. And we're going to try to get a guest down here for you that I'm still very tight with that told me a very interesting story that he went to a dead show and Jerry's guitar wasn't sounding well and he went up to him after the show and he goes, I have an adjustment. You know, you could just walk up to Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, walk up to Jerry Seinfeld and say, hey, I think I can make that joke better and watch what he'll say to you.
Oh, my God. You would be fucking laser-eyed right there. Just zoom. You
know, walk up to Bill Burr and tell him, I got to wait for you to make
that I got a tag for you.
I got a tag for you. And I'm not even talking about as a comic.
No.
Just
a human.
Regular guy.
Yeah.
He goes, let me go out in the car and get it. And he came back with some type of box. I have him explain it to you. And he said that ever since that day, him and Jerry had this bond. They became friends. And in fact, he put them on the album when they went commercial on MTV.
Touch of Grey.
Touch of Grey. He's one of the producers on that.
That's awesome.
Because he worked with Jerry and his guitars, you know. I never met Jerry. I never met Hart. I never met Bob Weir. But I hear nothing but great things about them.
Yeah.
From people who have met them and have hung out with them. And it was, you know, I was reading somewhere, for you fucking assholes, and I don't mean to disrespect nobody this early in the morning, but for you fucking morons to pay $600 and go to Coachella and see and smell and sweat, yeah, it might be an experience, but it's really not. They had a thing that the fucking dead did in 66 or 65 called the Psychedelic Festival.
Oh, yeah.
You're not allowed in there on DMT. Like, don't show up with DMT. Don't show up with a vapor pen. Don't show up with a fucking edible. It's either LSD or straight up tuturuts.
Yeah.
Like, who goes to a psychedelic festival in 1965 or 66 in San Francisco? Like, you had to take acid.
100%.
Like, 100 fucking percent. And it was an experience. It was 12-hour acid. You really do have the hole in your cupboard in your computer. You don't want nobody watching you when you whack off, do you?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I love it.
You got to have that, right? I got the black triangle of tape over my computer. These fuckers, man, you know, as you get older, you get a little paranoid. These fuckers are listening to us, man.
They're listening to everything.
Yeah. They're listening to this podcast.
But they'll listen. Who gives a fuck?
I don't give a fuck.
I lived the life of a boring 56-year-old man.
So yeah. Yeah.
But no, that's what the dead, like, I'm a fan of music. Anybody who listens to comedians know that they're frustrated musicians.
Yeah.
Were musicians that did not want to take bass playing lessons. Or in my situation, I didn't want a guitar because I knew I'd snort it down to the final fucking note.
Yeah, so, I traded a guitar for a sack of blow.
Yeah.
One of my favorite guitars. It's gone.
It's gone. And it's the way it is. So I knew I'd never make it. But I'm a big, big, big music fan. If you know me, you know, on any level. And the Grateful Dead, I have a special knot for them in my heart. I always have. And still, I catch myself once every 10 days. Just out of respect, I'll put on fucking Working Man's Dead and clean the office.
Yeah.
You know, I'll put on American Beauty and do a few bong hits and just listen to the entire album. I never listen to the Dead for one song.
Yeah, I never do that either.
You follow me? Like,
yeah, it's not a one-song band.
To Velvet Revolver, yeah. To fucking Judas Priest.
Crocus. Screaming in the Night.
Yeah, Screaming in the Night. That was hysterical. Yeah. I haven't heard that in years. But then when I go to fucking...
The Dead,
I just go to YouTube, find the album, and sometimes I'll find a live clip that's like a 40-minute live clip, and I'll just put it on, just listen to Jerry play the guitar.
Yeah.
Which, one of the most... I can't say that, because a lot of people gave Jerry credit. I like to say he was underrated, but I'm lying if I said that.
Yeah.
People who know the guitar know that Jerry could fucking play. What number was he on Rolling Stones?
I don't know.
Because I know the band is 57.
Right.
So if your band is 57, one of the guitarists has to be up there.
Yeah, he's got to be up there. Because
he's got to be up there.
He's right up there. If you just put all the great guys, one of the reasons they're so fucking great is because right when you hear it, you know who it is. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Angus, Jerry Garcia, Eddie Van Halen. You know who they are. It comes on, you get, so that's what makes that fucking a guy in the top 10 to me. People that are great but don't have their own sound, you go, yeah, that guy's great, but he doesn't have a sound. You know, these guys, Jerry, when it comes on, he's got that bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, that's what I liked about Jerry.
It's all bubbly and cool.
I
like that.
Yeah, I could tell. Listen, that's what makes a guitar player. When Eric Clapton hits a chord, it's Eric Clapton. When David Gilmour hits a chord, it's David Gilmour. When Randy Rhoads hits a chord, it's Randy Rhoads. That's what makes the outstanding. In comedy, it's not even the joke, it's the voice. When you hear the voice, not Dean Del Rey's voice, but what we're trying to say,
yeah,
you know that. That's
as they say,
Dean
you
Dunner.
Found your voice.
You found your voice.
Meaning,
yes.
It's you're who you are off stage, on stage, and vice versa.
Vice versa, absolutely. So, I for me, in my world, because like till today, I'm not all in on Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah,
I'm from Jersey, and I should be jumping up and down and telling you I want to go see him for 3 hours. Bruce doesn't have 3 hours of music for me. I like Songs from the River, and I like Born to Run.
Oh, 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
10th Avenue Freeze Out's my favorite. I love Born to Run, but something was missing. You know, with Aerosmith, I saw the nuts and bolts. With Def Leppard, I saw the nuts and bolts. With the Grateful Dead, it took a long time, but I saw the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, and you go, well, yeah, sometimes maybe you have to see Earth, Wind, and Fire and then realize what the power of the Dead is, you know. But what kills me about the Dead is I didn't have time to go as deep as I wanted into them.
Yeah.
Like, remember when Denzel puts the tape around the guy's mouth and he goes, you wish you had more time.
Yep.
I wish that I would have gotten into the Dead when I was 19. Instead of 26.
Same with me.
That was my only regret with the Dead. You know, I wish I would have gone to see Led Zeppelin. I wish Bill Bonham wouldn't have died. There's a couple of regrets I have for music. When it comes to the Dead, I wish I would have been more open-minded to gone to a couple more live shows, couple more hangs. You know?
Yeah. I'm the same way because my music taste, I pride myself on how eclectic it was growing up. I'm like, I went from Prince, Michael Jackson, Earth, Wind & Fire, Lakeside. Then I put on Back in Black. Then I put on Cheech and Chong. Then I put on, Slayer. You know, all over the board, but for some reason, and I think it was, I've said this many times, it was more that the fans of the band kind of ruined it for me. It always made me like, because I was always working a job, my mom, single, one job, her, I had to work, dad wasn't around. So these hippies would really turn me up like, oh, hey, dude, you got a miracle? And I'd be like, fuck you, get a job. I was just angry young guy. Like, I'm working all day and then rehearsing all night. These guys are just cruising around America in a van. And now I look at it like, that sounds pretty fun. just fucking cruising around.
They would do these. Did they ever stop touring?
They took a time off in the early 70s where they kind of, they called it a break. Did they break up? What's going on? Mickey Hart left the band. His dad ripped off the band. He stole a bunch of money from him and he left and they came back as a one drummer band for a while. And then Mickey Hart came back, but they did stop for a while. They were just completely burnt. And Phil, the bass player, says that he felt that it was the best the Dead from, I think it's 66 to 72, whenever the break is. Other people think the Dead is the best all the way mid-70s, and then other people love them in the 80s. And that's what I love about the Dead, is there's all these different eras and vibes. They're super psychedelic and hippie in the 60s. Then they get into that Working Man's Dead where they're kind of into Dylan and the band and all that and country music. And then they get into what I talked to Marin about was kind of their Steely Dan era, Blues for Allah, where they're kind of a music nerdy.
Great song.
Great record. And then they get Brett Midland in the band in the 80s. They got Touch of Grey. They explode. Now they're on the radio and shit. I mean, they were early.
I remember the MTV video. When I saw the MTV video, I didn't think they were a sellout.
Not at all.
I'm not going to look at you in the face and ever say that about Jerry Garcia and the boys. But it took away that underground that I liked about them, that attracted me to them. In the first place, like here you are in Iowa. Everybody's got a what's the truck company hat that everybody wears?
Peterbilt.
Peterbilt.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, 2 days before a Dead show, these guys start coming in. These women in sandals and bikinis and just hot little young dirty chicks with dirty feet. You definitely got VD. They go right to the clinic and register as a registered VD holder.
VD card holder.
Because those Dead chicks from the 70s, the VD just never went away.
VD, crabs, all that. Lice.
They would take over a town in a manner that, and I never saw, like I said, I never saw them in New York. I never saw them in Jersey. I saw what they did in Boulder. I saw what they did to the Denver area, and it was the same thing I saw Michael Jackson do to New York City and Elton John would do to New York City. It takes a few people to shut down the city.
Yeah.
Elton John shut down New York City in 73 and Michael Jackson shut it down in 84. I mean, barricades, people jumping out of buildings, that type of
thing. Oh, yeah.
In a smaller scale level, I would see the Dead take over the Denver metropolitan area. And they would, let's say the concert was at Red Rocks, they would just camp all week.
Oh, yeah.
In an hour.
A full village.
A full village of
Shakedown Street, they call it.
That's what, yes.
Yeah.
And they would be, some would be in Chautauqua, some would be in Arvada camping, And on the night of, it was all over. No showers, little patchouli juice.
Yeah.
And you start dropping that acid because you don't want to take a shower because you don't want to sweat the acid out of your pores. So you want your pores to be clogged. What a crazy mentality.
Yeah, right.
They didn't want the acid. I don't know what the story was. But
was you get that. Extra high if you don't shower for a month.
If you don't shower for a month because you won't sweat out.
They always got two or three dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you want me to tell you what else? If you really, really fucking think about it, I think in my heart that all the paloozas and everything was stolen from the Grateful Dead. Because the night I went to the Grateful Dead, this is what I do remember. Okay, as a child, if you walked down 42nd Street, as soon as you hooked a left onto 8th Avenue, there'd be 30 of the slimiest dudes right out of a TV show. And all they would be saying was LSD, acid, marijuana, cocaine, rolling papers, ácido, ácido, ácido. It was just the same thing. When you walked the first 100 feet before you gave that guy the ticket, there would be makeshift boots. And girls would be selling beads.
Oh, yeah.
And people would be selling sandals that they homemade.
Tie-dyes.
Tie-dye shirts. And, you know, in the parking lot, people would approach you with drugs and stuff. And I remember buying a hit of acid. I remember, like, I had some, and I actually bought some at the thing because they had, like, a dog or something. I know they needed to buy dog food.
Yeah.
Like when you went, like my friend said, bring cash because there's great deals outside. They stole all that. That was something that it wasn't written. It wasn't sanctioned. It was deadheads. That's how they got themselves to the next city.
Yeah.
How phenomenal is that? How phenomenal. Now, the American right now, we're intelligent Americans and we're speaking. We don't have time to go, you know what? Fuck life. Fuck that office cubicle. The Stones tour starts tomorrow night in Pasadena. And you know what? I'm going to the rest of it, the rest of the year.
Even if I don't have a ticket.
Even if I don't have a ticket.
Yeah.
I got $20,000 in the bank. I got unemployment coming. I'm just going to follow the fucking Stones and do my own. Because what you're really doing is going on vacation, just going to see the Stones. So wherever the Stones are going, you're going.
Yeah.
And while you're in town, you know, you're looking at the sights, it's got to be one of the biggest experiences that I never had the balls to do. But that's what I liked about those guys, that they would go on the tour. It wasn't the one fucking show.
No.
They would do 7 months.
And live it.
They would tell their parents and go, I'm done. You know, at that time, a lot of them were trust funders.
Yeah.
But most of them were people working themselves from show to show. And they'd become friends with the roadies because the guy who got me the tickets was friends with a roadie. That's how he got, you know, the roadie would come and drink at a bar in Boulder and bring them tickets and, you know. So it was such a...
That's how I'm getting in now. My buddy Matt works for him. Before that, it was Shiruki, who I gave my apartment to, who passed away 6 months ago. He was their tour manager. And all these guys, it's like an old school family. They're like, come down to the show, you know? And they're fans of like you and stuff. I'll be telling them, yeah, we listen to your podcast with Joey and shit. That stuff's great, you know? And I'm like, wow, this is cool, you know? It's still that kind of family vibe to it. It's really wild. You know, I think, Joey, the most insane thing about the Dead, and you and I as a comedian, and you've been a comedian like forever, and I've been playing music all my life and now a comedian, to get a fan base, a draw, is so fucking hard. Like, you and I have been doing this forever, and you're looking at it like it's like one fan at a time. Heard you on Joey's podcast. Yeah, boom, a new guy. Saw you open for Joey here. Bam, a new guy. To get to the level of the Dead, here we are 52 years later, three or whatever for them, and it's just a city of people that go everywhere to see him. That's insane.
No Twitter.
No Twitter.
No Facebook.
Nope.
No Instagram.
Nope.
It was the strongest form of advertising there is. Mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
Belly to belly. Hey, what are you doing tonight? Oh, well, my girlfriend went. Listen, yeah. We're not watching Orange is the New Purple. All right. We're going to take a hit of ass and we're going to go see the dead. You know. And once you go to one show, it's like doing stand-up for some people. That's the other thing about the dead. The shows were very liberating.
Yeah.
I love metal. I love metal.
Yeah, so do I.
Everybody knows I love metal. But while you're hearing, you know...
Screaming for Vengeance.
Screaming for Vengeance. That guitar is playing in your soul. And it's tightening you up.
It is.
In between songs, you go... When you clap, you're actually sore. You ever go to a concert, the next day you're sore, and you're like, what did I do? I walked up a flight of stairs, but my back hurts. Because while they were playing the music, you were tightening up without even knowing why you're breathing, you know? With the dead, between the acid and the chicks doing all that crazy shit with their hands and shit, it was one of the first concerts that my guard was down.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. You've never heard of a fist fight at a dead concert. Nobody gets hit in the head at a dead concert. I knew tons of people who went to dead concerts, and nobody ever came home with a black eye.
No stabbings.
No. It was always this very hippie-ish vibe. Now, you've gone to see them recently.
You yep.
went 3 nights. Is the vibe still the same from... What is the vibe of the dead now? Your honest opinion.
Well... I went to the last Dead shows when Trey played. I think it was 3 years ago. They said,
did you ever see Jerry?
I never saw Jerry in the Dead. I did see Jerry. I've told this story a couple times. I saw him in person 2 days before he died. 2 days before he died, I was out at Stinson Beach. He was going to rehab out there, and I pulled into Stinson Beach, and this black Ferrari was pulling out. And I looked, and the top was off. It was Jerry and another guy, and I went, whoa, Jerry. And he went, hey, and he burned out of there, and he was dead 2 days later, which is really, really like a Forrest Gump like moment for me. Like, whoa. I remember I was with this girl, ex-girlfriend of mine, and I called her, I said, that guy we saw, he died today. Crazy. We saw him 2 days ago. That was pretty wild. But to get back to your question, I went to go see the Dead, their last shows, Fare Thee Well. And it was with Trey from Phish. And right after they did that, they announced that some of the guys were going to play with John Mayer. And I was like, John Mayer? What? And I was like, no fucking way, you know, because now I'm all in on the Dead. And I went anyway, because my buddy was working for him, and I went in Boulder. And I immediately said, I don't care what it takes, I'm telling everybody how great John Mayer is to the day I die. It was the first time I really felt I was so wrong from a guy that I knew nothing about, that I was judging for no reason. And I feel a lot of times people do that to us if they just judge you for no reason. Like, I don't have, like how that guy looks, or I don't, you know, whatever. I saw him and I saw the crowd and how it felt at the shows. And I was like, at this point in my life, I need this more than ever. And I've gone now, I think, 10 times. And this year, I saw him four times, twice at the Bowl, twice at Boulder. And they were some of the best shows I've ever seen in my life, live concerts. And I've seen thousands.
How is Boulder compared to L.A.?
Well, Boulder is a special place to see Dead & Co. That's just... I know when they're playing Boulder, I'm going to that because the entire vibe of the city is unbelievable. It's so festive, and everybody there's a music freak. And when the band comes on, they know the legacy of say, Boulder or San Francisco or a couple other cities where there's this legacy where they have to really deliver. And they crushed it. It was unbelievable. But they crushed it at the Hollywood Bowl, too. Because I think they like to really kill the industry out there. Like, fuck you, we are the best.
Now, how many remaining members are there?
There's one, two.
Dead and Co.
There's three.
With John Mayer.
It's the two drummers, and it's Bob Weir. It's three of them.
Okay, so we got Bob Weir.
Oh yeah. Bob Weir, man. And Bob Weir is working out now. He's all fit. He sings amazing. I don't know. Look, man, I'm 53, and my memory somewhere along the way, back when I quit sugar, went to shit. Everybody said it was going to be way better. It's not. I feel way better, but my memory's shit. But Bob Weir, some of these songs, like Blues for Allah, Terrapin Station, are 12 minutes with all these intricate changes and shit. This fucking guy, he's commanding the band, giving cues and shit. I don't know how he remembers it all, but man, he is killing it. And I tell you, I'll say this over and over, John Mayer is a god up there, man. A god.
When you first found out that it was John Mayer, why were you excited? Most people were like,
I wasn't excited.
You weren't.
Oh no, I was.
I didn't get it either.
No.
But I didn't say nothing. But then something happened along the way.
Yeah.
I saw some video of him.
Right.
Doing blues.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I saw a video of him doing these blues at a bar or something in New York, and I was blown the fuck away when they announced Dead and Company. I know he doesn't need the job.
Nope.
Okay, so he signed on to do something that he knew the catalog, which makes you have to love John Mayer even a little more, that he's gone from that bluesy Eric Clapton, B.B. King style, and now he's doing this other loose bluesy jazz. And I heard he's hitting all the marks.
Because
another friend of mine went to see him, and he goes, he just shredded this fucking guitar when I went to see him. So it's...
I judged him for no reason, and it taught me a hard lesson. Because, like I said, I know a lot of people will judge me just on dumb stuff, like, oh, I don't like his voice, or I don't like his look, or whatever. And I did that to John Mayer for no fucking reason. And it's a 50-year-old adult, which is, like, just stupid. And now I feel like I need to extra shout him out because it's just that fucking good. I heard an incredible... Or I watched him on a CBS Morning News thing. He said he was having a hard time in Hollywood. He was getting a lot of wrath after the Jessica Simpson stuff. He said he went to rehab for ego. He moved to Montana, disappeared, right? Just got the fuck out of here. And he was in a hardware store, I believe. And he heard Althea by the Dead while he was shopping in the hardware store. And he heard it and he was like, wow, this is fucking great. And he went home and he started diving into the Dead. And I think the Dead hits you at a time in life when it's rough for you. And you go, oh, wow. And then it sounds kind of hippie. You're like, whoa, peace and love. But it is true. It's a soothing music for me.
It's a soothing music.
It really is.
It's the most soothing three hours. When you go to a concert, okay, I got to fucking pull up. I got a valet park.
Yeah.
I got to stand on the line. I got to do these things that never existed at a concert 30 years before. You know, I still remember going to see Dio and Sabbath in Philadelphia. And there being thousands upon thousands of people in a parking lot tailgating. And nobody would say a word. You know, I went to so many shows where you knew an area to go, that there'd be 20 like-minded people like you headed to that concert, and they were doing heroin or smoking pot or beer. You know, I'm exaggerating on the heroin.
Yeah, just getting loaded, though.
Understand, they're getting loaded. with the dead, it was one of the best times I had, because I walked around that fucking parking lot. It wasn't 50 to park. I'm not getting stressed out already. You got out your car, people had flip-flops on. Nobody had to dress up. You know, some people had, or most people had tie-dye on. I just had like a shirt on, you know. I was there for the music. But the experience was fucking mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And something you said that made a lot of sense also. It's so weird how many people I grew up with that because of a dumb thing, they wouldn't go see somebody. I could care less what your outside boundaries are and what your life's about.
I don't care either.
If you step up to the pump, I'm going to give you the benefit of the fucking doubt. That's the type of guy I am with music. Way before I got into comedy. I was just telling my wife, I heard Shake It Up last night.
Yeah.
Shake It Up by The Cars, 82.
Great.
Let me tell you something. Candy-O and the first album is one of my first favorite albums of all time. I was never so excited to see a band than to go see The Cars at Central Park. Thinking about it right now, The Cars didn't belong in Central Park. There's no good acoustics.
Yeah.
There's never been a live album from Central Park. The acoustics suck.
It's just
a bunch of fucking morons.
Just air.
Airing it out.
Yeah.
It just goes into the air.
Yeah.
You know, I went to, what's that album The Cars put out? It was Candy-O, then they put like a fourth one out with like a Domino or something. Not that good of an album, but I remember I told my wife, okay, you see this song? This is the beginning of the end for The Cars. We walked out of there like our girlfriends had cheated on us. Like, we wanted The Cars to be so fucking great, but it wasn't their fault. See, now in hindsight, like I left there.
It was the room.
It was the room. It was no room.
Yeah, no room.
Trees.
Yeah.
They had organs and lead guitars, and you know, it works for fucking Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Of course.
It works for Simon and Garfunkel, you know. But for that style of music, it just didn't work. And I didn't know at that time. And I got pissed off at The Cars. I don't know how we got on The Cars, but it's still music talk with Dean Delray.
So fucking great, The Cars, dude. I asked some people to shoot in some questions for us about the dead on Twitter, which is great. So let's check a couple of them out. Joey, what are your top three dead songs?
Fire on the Mountain.
Yeah.
You know what song I like, which is a shitty song to like?
Yeah.
But I like it. What's that one? Good Lovin'.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great.
Really, really, something about Good Lovin'. Who's singing on that? Bob Weir?
Bob Weir, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love that song. And to take you something deep, I really like Uncle John's Band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Something about that gives me tingle. Come see
Uncle Tom's Band.
Yeah. All that stuff. He's come to take his children home.
Yeah.
He's come to take his children home. When you see that live, you're like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I may have a little armpit odor, and I might be sleeping on somebody's floor. And that's what I think the dead did also. They made a bunch of kids that felt like outsiders be a part of something that, again, at 25 I looked at it as weird, but at 56 I look at how important it is. I'd rather my kid be into the dead than to stay home and watch video games.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rock.
Yeah.
If you come to me and say, I'm going to follow the dead all summer, it's not my favorite fucking idea.
Yeah.
But I know you're going to learn something. You're going to suck a few dicks. You're going to get a couple of rashes.
Yeah.
Ringworm is definitely a part of your future.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're on a dead tour, you know.
Sleeping on the ground.
Yeah. But there's something about it. I think that the people who don't get the dead just, they're not reading between the lines.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that I wasn't a knucklehead from Jersey and I didn't get to read between the lines of the dead. They're a beautiful fuck. And just the fact that they're doing this without Jerry and they're still getting the crowds.
Oh, man.
And it, yeah, when you go to a thing, it's probably 50% old-timers and 50% of young guys that got turned to it by their dads.
That's what's cool, the young people out there.
Yes, there's got to be four generations.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, listen, they started in 64 as a different name.
Yeah.
When they opened up, they started as something.
The Warlocks.
So 64, that means they've been around for 55 fucking years. I was just born. I was in Cuba walking around the dirt floor.
Yeah.
The dead were playing in San Francisco. One last question.
Yeah.
Did they go to Woodstock?
They played Woodstock.
They did play Woodstock.
Here's what happened.
Hit me.
They hated their performance because they were... There was no sound check. There was power problems, a lot of shocking, you know, and they had a horrible performance. So they said, cut us out of the film. And so for a long time, you just forgot that they were even there. But it's funny, a lot of people that hated their Woodstock performances, I've listened to them recently, and it's like, this is great. Creedence, like he hated... Fogerty hated it, and when I listened to the Creedence Live at Woodstock record, it's on iTunes now, I'm like, this is fantastic. So they did play Woodstock, and then they were supposed to play Altamont, and when they landed, they heard what was going on, and they just got back in the helicopter and fucking split out of there, and it's a good part on the Altamont film. Jerry's standing there, and they're like, yeah, man, like they punched the Burrito Brothers in the face. And he's like, what? Oh, we're out of here. And they just blazed. I love it. They were smart. They're like, we're getting the fuck out of here. There's a fantastic film. To with me with the dead is I feel like Pacino in Godfather 3, they pulled me back in, you know. Every time I'm kind of growing up, like, I don't like the dead, something would grab me and I go, maybe I do like the dead. And it would happen all the time. There was a documentary called Festival Express. A guy put on a concert series all through Canada, and he had the band Janis and the dead and I think Sean and Ah on a train. And they went from city to city in Canada and did these giant shows, and he filmed the whole thing. And then it shelved it for like 30 years. And somebody found it in an attic and they put it out like 15, 20 years ago. It is fantastic. Everybody's fucked up on the train playing all night. The band and the dead and Janis together. And I saw that documentary and I go, I love these fucking guys.
I love all that type
of shit. I love that shit, right?
Soul Power has that.
Oh.
When they're on the plane with Celia Cruz and... B.B. King.
So cool.
And they're all fucked up. You can see their eyeballs. They've been doing blow. Hector Laveau and Willie Colon. And you're like, wow, these guys, they knew how to live.
Yeah.
You and me take the 45 out, and the worst thing we do is drink coffee.
Yeah. You know?
And we get there, and we're sober as a judge. These motherfuckers got there fucked up.
Oh.
Then they had to sleep it off, or they just went right on the fucking stage. It was just, we have just become a society of pussies.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night is going to be interesting in this town because the Stones are playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
Pasadena Rose Bowl.
And here's the thing, like tonight they were supposed to do something. They always do something in Silver Lake the night before.
Like they played the Echoplex. They did the Fonda and did Sticky Fingers from top to bottom.
So I'm waiting for my neighbor.
Yeah.
I guess her girlfriend is who does Mick's hair when he comes to town. And she told her that Mick was doing something somewhere.
Wow. That'd be great if he came to the Comedy Store. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
He just started singing Start Me Up.
Oh, okay, man. He just gets up. Stop me up. Hey, we got bumped by Jagger tonight. That would be great. Oh, my God. Let me check the next question here. What's the most acid, Joey, you've ever taken at one time at a show, at a live show? I only take one hit, right? You ever take more than one hit?
I think I took two hits of Double Barrel Sunshine for Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Whoa, you saw that tour?
Yeah, the first night at the Nassau Coliseum.
Oh, sick.
1980. I also took one hit of Windowpane.
Oh.
for the Stones and Foreigner in 78. You know, everybody else I really don't remember. Like, I'm just not, like, I remember I saw the Cars yesterday in the car of my wife. I had forgotten I saw the Cars. And
yeah.
I'm mad at them, I were, and blah, blah, blah. Then I went to see the B-52s on Three Quaaludes. That was also great, too. You know? I would take whatever, but I think the concert that got me was Pink Floyd, The Wall. We prepared for it. We did acid that afternoon, and by the time we got to the show, it was peaking. And that was a different, like, I have acid at the office.
Yeah.
And I'll take a little hit from time to time. It's an hour and a half.
That's it?
You trip a little bit, and you're back to normal.
It's not like that old acid, eight hours?
It's not like the fucking 3 hours of giggles, 4 hours of intensity, and then 3 hours of what the fuck did I just see?
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do with my life? Should I quit Denny's? You
know. That shit is crazy. All right. Somebody had a great question here. Although we are talking the Grateful Dead in a couple days from now, is it Lane Staley's birthday or is it the anniversary of when he passed? Let me look real quick here. Which is also a super legend. Between Joey and I, we just love... it's Lane Staley's birthday tomorrow. Wow. I don't know how old Lane Staley would have been, but I think he's about my age, maybe a few years younger. Definitely, part of a kind of a dead style culture, meaning the insanity of the fans that took to grunge was pretty incredible. And Lollapalooza, like we talked, I saw Alice in Chains at two different Lollapaloozas, and those are some of the greatest times in my life. Those Lollapaloozas, just unbelievable. He's gone, man. That's a brutal, brutal drug. All of them are gone except for Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder. But all the main guys are gone. Cobain, Chris Cornell, and Lane Staley, man, and Mother Love Bone, just a brutal city there, brutal city.
Listen, man, no risk, no reward.
Yeah.
You wanted that music, you had to sacrifice something to get it. When you listen to Nutshell, is it?
Yeah.
That album, what's the name of that? Alice?
Jar of Flies.
Jar of Flies. And then you put on Dirt, and you could feel the drug and the pain coming through the thing. You know, now in hindsight, we're listening to Cornell's music, and we're seeing where his head was at.
Yep.
Whether it's Fell on Black Days, to Just Like Suicide, to... There were so many things pointing at his unhappiness or his mental thread that we didn't notice at the time, you know. When I lived in Seattle in 95, there was a little hot, hot hippie waitress at Giggles. I was 30-something. She was 24. And I don't know how many nights she said to me, do you want to go up to the hill, Flower Hill? Orchard Hill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Capitol Hill.
Yeah, that's what it's called, right? That neighborhood?
Wherever Lane Staley was living.
Yeah.
In 95, he was in an apartment, and it was like a walking shootery gallery. And people would come in, and people would come out. And I don't know how many times she asked me after a show, what are you going to do tonight? And as coked up as I was, she'd go, I'm going up to Lane's. Do you want to come up? He's got some good heroin or something. And I remember like looking at him like, there's nothing I want more in the world than to go up there and shoot a heroin. But people say that you never want to meet your heroes.
Yeah.
And I think it had to do with that. I didn't want to see my hero fucking heroined out with cigarettes getting put out on him and all that shit. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And he died, a couple of years after that or something. But, I mean, I'm 56. My life is music. His Unplugged is one of the best unplugs I've seen in my life. If you want me to sit here and tell you I like Nirvana when they first came out, you're not going to get the answer you want. Nirvana is another one of those bands that he had to shoot himself to get my attention. And now I feel horrible that I never saw him, because that was the beginning of two eras. It was
Kurt Cobain. Yeah.
But the guy that was in the background he was a 16-year-old prodigy named David Grohl.
Yeah.
16-year-old prodigy that they didn't know what to do with the record label. So they threw him up there. And look at what he ended up becoming.
Superstar.
So we got two different genres from this band. That's how fucking talented they really were. I mean, then he had to get off the drums, and now he sings. But, you know, there's so many... We lost a lot of people.
We did. We lost Jerry. He was 53 years old. I'm 53 years old.
I'm 56.
And when you look
Jerry's 53.
Yeah.
Was 192 in acid.
Totally.
Cocaine, drug.
Heroin.
Touring.
Yeah.
You know, writing in a studio. That's 53. And when you're 53 and you're on the road as a musician, you really have to cut back the shows and pay a little bit more attention to your health and your... I spoke to Mick Mahan last week from Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
I spoke to a couple different people who are on tour. And it's not like Judas Priest, who could do five nights in a row anymore. These guys are spreading it out.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know they do two shows back to back and they fucking... They're dead now. It's like us.
Yeah.
You know, two weekends in a row. Tuesday, we can't talk a week later. You know, burnout.
I got the herniated disc, you know. I'm fucking, you know, you got to get in a plane. You're all trapped up. You're traveling.
The Grateful Dead didn't know tour schedules.
No.
You know, fucking Motley Crue toured Shout at the Devil, and they stayed on the road for a year after that or something like that. But nobody was doing what the Dead's been doing. And it didn't start in 91. It started in 65.
Yeah.
And then they had their little breakup. But when they went back, they were constantly.
The whole time.
You know, I lived in Boulder for 12 years, and I can tell you something. They came every year. As far back as I could think about, some motherfucker showed up representing.
Yeah.
Even if it was the dude in the back that shook the maracas, he showed up with Bob Marley's son.
Yep.
Somebody from the Dead was always representing.
Oh, yeah, when they weren't touring, they would do solo tours. Something.
So there was never Twitter, there was no Facebook, but they always maintained their relevancy. And as soon as a person went to college and he didn't get accepted into Phi Beta, come in my mouth, and the engineering school, who does he turn to? The Stoners. And guess what? They accept him. That's how you become a Deadhead.
Well, thanks for coming over, dude.
My brother, I'm in shock.
It's so great.
We finally got to do it. We've been trying to do this for a month.
I know.
But our schedules...
It's good, though. We're busy.
Listen, man, these next 2 weeks in this town are fucking debt.
Yeah.
Until September 5th, until that first football gets snapped, everybody's fucking brain dead right now. You got Labor Day and the NFL and college football.
We got some great shows coming up.
We got some great shows.
We're going to be at the Chicago Theater.
Chicago Theater. You, me, and fucking we're bringing along Kate Quigley and Sacrificer.
Oh, yeah?
We're just going to light a pussy on fire on stage for a closer. Remember, didn't somebody light their drums on fire?
Oh, my God, yeah.
We're lighting Kate Quigley's skinny little pussy on fire.
And then we got Omaha.
And Detroit at the Motor City Casino December 7th.
Yep.
And Omaha November 8th and 9th. So Detroit, Motor City Casino, December 7th and the 8th and 9th at the Omaha Funny Bone.
And then San Francisco.
Oh, shit.
Palace of Fine Arts.
Two nights before fucking New Year's. You understand me? Fuck New Year's. It's for Sabbath.
Yeah.
Listen, New Year's is for amateurs. The professionals are going to be with us over at the Palace of Fine Arts.
Yeah.
Fucking 10 minutes from fucking death.
And we're doing what, Casala or whatever?
Calusa, Friday before.
Yeah.
So it'll be a two-banger, Sacramento, fucking San Francisco, and we'll be talking shit afterwards outside. So if you have any disagreements about our Grateful Dead talk, we'll see you then.
Yeah, and I'll be at Cleveland Hilarities September 2021 headlining. Also, thanks for the new fucking sponsor, Joey, CBD Lion.
Tremendous.
You know what I think about, dude? At our age, we've lived long enough to see CBD and weed and all this become natural health, which this CBD oil by CBD Lion has been helping me so much, dude. I got the 5,000 milligram wiping out my anxiety.
Wiping it out.
Helping with the inflammation of my disc and my neck. CBD Lion, and the owners are amazing. 100% organic. They do third-party testing. We don't know who's making that other CBD oil.
I say it all the time. You ever go to a liquor store and they're selling ginseng?
Yeah, you're like, where's
that
from?
So wait a second. I'm buying fire water, and they got a little container of Chinese ginseng. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
CBD Lion was a brand that was given to me. It was so good that I reached out to them.
Yeah.
And the rest has been history.
It's incredible.
I live by their CBD tinctures. The good thing about that is, Joey, I don't like that taste in my mouth. Fine. They got shatter. They got vapor pens. And if you go into their, what I like about them the most is, if you go into CBDLion.com website.
Yep.
Or their pamphlets.
I got the pamphlet here. It has everything.
They'll prescribe to you what you need for your ailment. If it's arthritis, you have to take a CBD oil that has a green thing on it. If it's anxiety, it's got a purple. I'm not saying the accurate colors here, but do yourself a favor. Go to CBDLion.com right now and take a look at the gray. I mean, vapor pens, shatter, cartridges, the fucking gummy bears.
Oh, I got them right here.
The fucking gummy bears. Raspberry fucking gummy bears are so fucking good. 500 milligrams. You pop two of those an hour before you go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm 56, and what impressed me the most, honest, they helped with my inflammation. They let me do that fifth workout every week. But the number one thing about CBD Lion that's helped me the most is sleep.
Sleep.
Once you're over 50, we get up to pee in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Now, I don't get up to pee anymore.
Nope. And no THC in it, guys. No. So you're not going to get tested at work and get busted or whatever. This is straight CBD, all natural vegan oils. And man, and use the code DEAN for 20% off all the time. Not one time. All the time. You use this code DEAN and you get 20% off. And I'm telling you, it has really helped with my anxiety because I've been, since I got this herniated disc, dude, I've been depressed. Like, when I'm off, I slip into a fierce depression because all I want to do is work. That's it. And if I can't work, I start to freak out, man. You know? So, CBD Lion, man. Thank you, Joey, for hooking that up.
Andrew, that he's coming to some of the shows. He'll be at the Chicago
show. Oh, yeah, he's coming to Chicago.
So CBD Lion will be in the house at the Chicago shows.
Yeah.
So
he wants to take us to dinner.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some fucking product to give away at the show. And that's it. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, I love you, Joey, man. I can't wait to get out on the road. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. The great Joey Diaz. Check out his podcast every week, The Church of What's Happening. I've been on it about 100 times. And check out Joey's podcast, his tour dates at joeydiaz.com?
Net.
No, joeydiaz.net. Check out all his tour dates and my tour dates at deandelray.com. See ya.